is the parsha, the Torah reading of this week is Boy. And the beginning of the parsha speaks about the encounter of Moshe with Paro. And the parsha concludes and continues with the redemption, the final redemption of the people of Klal Yisrael from Egypt, that Klal Yisrael were finally able to be freed from slavery, and they enter in the place of the freedom, and they begin their journey through the desert. So the beginning of the parsha, the beginning of the portion opens as follows. It starts with Boyel Parat. Hashem tells Moshe, Boy, come to Parat. And the first obvious question is, and this is the question that the Zohar asks, and we'll learn a little bit of the Zohar. The Zohar asks a question, why does it say Boyel Parat, you should come to Parat? Grammatically, it should have said Lecha Parat, you should go to Parat. Come means that I'm here, and I tell you, come to me. Go means I'm telling you to go to another place. Hashem's telling Moshe to go to Paroi. The correct language should be Lechel Paroi. You shall go to Paroi. Boy means comes. It suggests that I'm with Paroi, or I'm together with Paroi. That's the first question. The second question, an obvious question, is normally when it says when Hashem tells Moshe to do something, He's told to go to Paroi and do something. Speak to him. Tell him to people to leave Egypt. Here the pasuk doesn't say that. Here the pasuk just says, the verse doesn't say that. The verse just says, you should go to Paroi and do what? What should he do when he gets to Paroi? So these are the questions. So let's read a little bit of Zohar and try to unpack this. This is a very deep piece of Zohar. And it's very cryptic and mystical, and we'll try to a little bit make sense out of this. So the Zohar says, Amar Rabbi Shimon, the beginning of the Zohar, this week's Parsha, the Zohar begins like this. Amar Rabbi Shimon says, Hashta Isla Gala Rosin. Now I'm going to reveal to you a great secret. Din Mizdavkin La'el V'tata. A secret that connects the upper and lower worlds. Maksi Boyel Pari, why does the Torah tell us? In the beginning of this week's parasha, Boyel Paroi, Lecha Paroi, and Boyle, why does it say go to Paroi? Come to Paroi, just say you should go to Paroi. My boy, El the Isle El Kuchibrichu Idim Basidin. That Hashem, Kuchibrichu, the transcendent one, brought Moshe layers upon layers, deeper and deeper into deeper chambers. The Kabatanina Chadi Lot Akifa, the Kamadagam Shalmane. Manini Razitana Godly told him, brought him to the great, in front of the great serpent, the great snake, the Tanina Godl, some type of sea animal, great sea animal. And the Torah speaks about the Tanini Magdolim, the great sea animals that were created, Leviathan, Leviathan. So this is talking about this great serpent, this great sea animal. So the Zohar says, Moshe Dachamanev, Lakarva Lagabi, in your own, in your dagan delay. And Moshe was afraid to approach this great monster, whatever mythical monster this what this represents, because he saw that everything comes from that place. Since Hashem Kadosh Baruch Hu saw that Moshe was afraid to encounter this beast, and he sent even higher messengers, angels to encounter this beast. And they were all afraid. The book in Ezekiel says that Pari Melech Mitzrayim, that Yecheskel has a prophecy about Mitzrayim, about the Pari that lived in his time during the times of the Churban, of the destruction of the first base of Mikdash. That this Melech Mitzrayim, but it goes on all Pari, because all the Egyptian rulers were called Pharaoh, Pari, Hatanin HaGodol HaRuv B'Sech Yarov. That this great sea monster is a Tanam HaGadol, Arev Sech Yarev. And he says, Li Arev Ani Asasini. And this great big animal, this monster, whatever you want to call it, roams the rivers, Arev Sech Yarev, it roams the sea, the Nile, and says, Li Arev Ani Asasini, I am the Nile and I created it. And Moshe is afraid to encounter it, and Hashem says, let's encounter it together. So what does this mean? What is this? I mean, obviously this is a very mystical and mythological text. In general, the whole Tanin Magdolim, the Tanin Magdolim with Leviathan, the Leviathan is a very mystical idea. which the Gra writes in Babasra as one of the great secrets of the Torah. But what exactly is this story? What exactly is this story? And why is Moshe afraid that Moshe needs Kaviyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come with him, and Moshe needs Hashem to come with him to encounter this animal? What is this? So on a very simple level, obviously the Tanya Gadol over here represents the peak of Klipa, the peak of negativity, the source of negativity. And Moshe is afraid to go into the belly of the beast, as it were, to retrieve or to somehow harness that power. This is the simple reading. It's like the depth of Klipa, the highest level of Klipa, the highest level of uncertainty and of a lack of clarity and of darkness, and to retrieve light from the place of darkness. But let's understand this a little bit deeper. Exactly why is it called a Tanin Agadol? Why is it exactly called a fish, a large fish, or a serpent, or a snake that's roaming the Nile, the rivers? What is this idea of this great fish? And in the context of the whole story of going on Mitzrayim, of leaving Egypt, and Moshe Rabbeinu and encountering this fish, what does it exactly mean? And how does this help in terms of the process of redemption? Because it's a story about redemption. It's a story about personal freedom. It's a story about collective freedom. But it's a story about people becoming from an unstuck place to a place of freedom. So generally, in the creation story, if you go back in the beginning of Bereishis, and this is the way the Zohar ties it, this Tanin, this great serpent, to the beginning of the Torah, where it says, where the Pasuk says, that Hashem created this great Tanin, these great serpents, these great snakes, or great fish, whales, however you imagine them. So in the beginning of Bereishis, in the beginning of the story of Bereishis, the beginning of the creation story, if you look through the beginning of the story, you'll see, you'll notice that in the beginning, the whole world, the earth, the Yabasha is the dry land, Yavash, the dry land. Dry land was submerged in water. Everything was covered with water. And then on day two of the creation story, is Vayavdil Elokim ben Hamayim l'Mayim, Hashem separated between the waters and waters, and then the waters start receding, and then you can see the landmass. So it begins, the creation story begins where everything is submerged in water, and slowly there's a process of Avdala, of separation, where all of a sudden you begin to start noticing that there's a difference between the water and the landmass, and in the landmass itself there's Havdala, the separation. This idea of a world submerged in water, and submerged in water represents a type of awareness of everything that's submerged in water is part of a unified whole, and no separation. There's no Havdalah, there's no separation. And then there's Havdalah, then there's separation when there's the emergence of the landmass. This same parallel of moving from a world submerged in water. We'll understand what this means. A world submerged in water to a world where there's landmass, where there's Yabasha, where there's ground, is very similar to the story in Shemais, the beginning of the Exodus story, with Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Where Moshe was in the water. Moshe was put into the Nile, into the rivers, into the Nile, into the water, the ultimate water, which is the water that we have the Tanin Agadol, this great serpent, this great fish swimming in these waters. That Moshe is from the water, and the name Moshe actually means, the name Moshe means Ki min hamayim mishisu, because he was drawn out of the water. That's the Hebrew version. Assuming the Batya, the daughter of Pharaoh, actually spoke Hebrew, then that would be literally what she called him, Moshe, Ki min hamayim mishisu, because he was drawn out of the water. He was drawn from the water to the landmass, to the ground, to earth, to land. And if the Torah is actually describing a Hebrew version, a Lashon Kodesh version of what she said in Egyptian, then Moshe would be Moses, and which means the son of the water. That's like Ramses means the son of Ra, Ramses means the child of. So she draws him from the water, she calls him the child from the water. But the name Moshe, certainly according to Lashon Kodesh, the way the Torah calls his name, and his name is Moshe, is Ki min hamayim mishisu, which means that he's going from the place of water, and he's being drawn out of the water, and he's going to the place of land. And similar, you see the same pattern, is that when the people of Israel finally become free, in the final stages of freedom, which we're going to read in next week's Torah reading, is that they finally go to the place of the freedom. The way they experience the freedom is that they're holchu bayavasha pesachayam. They walk through the land, the yavish. They walk through the dry land within the water. So the water also recedes, separates, and then they can walk on the land. So there's a place, you're going from the place of the water to the place of dry land. What does this mean? Water is symbolic of a place that doesn't have separation. Kol shebiyam tohrim, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That means that water is a place where everything that's in summer, at least from our perspective, from the way we see it, is that water is one entity. Everything within the water is part of the water. Even the fish, technically, according to certain opinions in the Mishnah, is also considered part of the water, which means everything within the water is part of one. Now, if you lived in water, you would probably think a little differently. If you're not a land animal, but if you lived in water, you would think that everything in the water is separation. But from the perspective of a land, looking into the water seems like one massive whole. It represents an undifferentiated space with no definitions, with no separation. It's one. It's unified. That's how water represents, Kabbalistically, according to Sefer Soy, that water represents the idea of connection and unity. Mayim is connectivity, chachma, unification, before things are divided. This is the idea of water. So water represents a power, a one force, a lot of light, a lot of one without separation. A lot of oil, to say it a little differently, a lot of light without any kalim, without any vessels. That's water. Yabasha, land, is the opposite. Land is the place of separation. Land is the place of division, havdalah, where everything is defined. When you look in the land, you see this is a tree, and this is the sand, and this is the water, and this is a person, and this is an animal. Everything is divided into separate things. It's the world of division, of separation. That's the world of Yabasha. That's the world of land. So water represents unification, a unity, or oneness, or complete one light, a lot of light with no vessels. And Yabasha, land, represents kalim, a lot of vessels, or more vessels than light. More kalim than oil. Which means that water is connected to the world of Toyo. Water is connected to the world of Toyo, to the world of chaos. The world of chaos is the pre-creation of the world, where the world exists within the world of chaos. That's the idea of a lot of oil, a lot of light. And Yabasha is the place of Tikkun. Yabasha, earth, is the place where everything is defined, which is the place of Tikkun, which is the place of correction, is the place where there are kalim, where there are vessels. So Toyu is the world of chaos, and the world of a lot of light. Tikkun, the world of correction, is a lot of kalim, but less light. To say it a little bit differently, is that Toyu, the raw energy, the raw quality of Toyu, is this unbridled, undefined, creative, chaotic force. And Tikkun, the world of Tikkun, is the place of order, which is restriction, particularity, everything is defined. And the order, the world of order, emerges from the place of chaos. On a high metaphysical level, this is the way it works, that the world of Toyo precedes the world of Tikkun. The world of a lot of light precedes the world of Tikkun, which is the world that we have now, which is vessels. But this also works in thinking in terms of your own development, of a human being's development. A child or a human being evolves from a state of Toyo to a state of Tikkun. That Toyo is an immature state where you have a lot of light, a lot of passion, a lot of unbridled desires. It's a lot of creativity. Children are very creative because there's no restrictions and they don't have yet certain paradigms of ways of thinking that they get stuck and locked into, so they can think much more freely. And Tikkun is a state of maturity. And the state of maturity is when already you have more seichel, more intelligence, more das, particularly more the power of das, which is awareness, self-awareness, but also an awareness that allows you to have the separation, which allows you to have free choice. To differentiate between one thing and the next. That's maturity. So immaturity is a state of a lot of passion, a lot of feelings, a lot of light. Maturity is when everything becomes a little bit more dulled, but there's a level of intelligence, which is the definition. In the state of immaturity, now the development of a human being is that they develop from a state of immaturity to a place of maturity, which means before they become a bar das, before they have levels of intelligence, which is 12 or 13, become bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, they operate with a lot of oiris de toyo, a lot of lights of toyo, which is unbridled, undifferentiated, non-strict, non-structured, non-orderly, almost chaotic forces, power, very bubbling with a lot of energy. And then as a person matures, they start thinking things through, starting to become more self-conscious and also self-conscious about the world, and they start making choices. So an immature state would be, a chaos state would be, let's say, for example, a child that has a lot of desire to eat ice cream or to eat candy. So in an unbridled, chaotic state of toyu, the child is going to indulge uncontrollably without any order, without any discipline, and overeat, like, you know, stuff their mouth with a lot of candy. The end result of that is that they're going to feel sick. They're going to throw up, or they're going to feel sick. They're going to feel nauseous. So the fulfillment of desire in the place of toyu, and this is why a person becomes mature, is that it always leads to more chaos. So it's very raw, it's very powerful, but if you don't have the intelligence and the mindfulness to say, let's say a person has desire to eat, has a sweet tooth, desires to eat ice cream, or desires to eat candy for whatever reason. So they may say to themselves, listen, if I have a little bit of that, I'm going to be okay. So they may taste a little bit of that. But if they don't have this, the intelligence, the das, the awareness, to give themselves a certain boundary and certain discipline, how much they're going to eat, they're going to feel sick. So the seichel, the intelligence, the order, creates the boundaries, creates the structure. So that's similar to the idea of the water, which is one unified, a lot of spaciousness, a lot of expansiveness, but no structure, versus the world of maturity, which is the place of structure. Now, what the Torah is saying, that the world was created from toyu. First, the world was submerged in water, or even a metaphysical level, the world was first in a state of toyu, and then it came into a world of tikkun. And the same thing also with our childhood and adulthood, is that first we go from a place of immaturity, which is this pure light, pure raw energy of toyu, then to a place of tikkun, which is more orderly and kalim, which you have more vessels. Which is also saying that the root of proper order is rooted in the world of chaos. That chaos, in terms of creativity, in order to create new structures of order, new understandings of the world, or even new understandings of whatever you're learning, sometimes you need the force of toyu, the creative force of toyu, to draw you into a higher level of tikkun. Because the creative force of toyu is not restrictive to a certain way of thinking. A lot of times people get stuck in their way of thinking, in the creative sense, that they cannot be creative any longer, is because they get stuck into a certain worldview, or a certain order of things, a certain structure of tikkun, that they become so mature that they lose the toyu quality. But the truth is that all creativity comes from toyu, and the correct creativity is when the lights of toyu come revealed into the world of tikkun. But the flip side of that, or the negative side of that, is when a person is stuck in the world of chaos, in the world of these lights. This is what it speaks about Pare. That the Zohar says later that Pare is Paru in the Chol Nahurim, that the word Pare comes from Parua, something that's revealed. Is Paru in the Chol Nahurim, like a tremendous revealing of lights. This is what the serpent, this Tana Nagal, this great serpent, is a tremendous revealing of lights. What does that mean? It's raw energy, raw quality, raw divine expression of toyo, of pure chaos. Therefore, Mitzrayim, the word Mitzrayim, Egypt in Hebrew is metzayam, the constriction that happens from the place of water. Because when a person or people, but when a person, let's talk about it in a personal life, when a person lives from a place of chaos, that they don't have their life in order, that they don't have structure in their life, that they don't, if they have a family life, they don't put their kids to sleep in the right time, and they don't have proper structures in terms of when the kids, children eat, etc., because they live a very chaotic family lifestyle, the result of the chaos is that it ends up being hurtful. It ends up being abusive or hurtful to the people around them. Let's say for, just as an analogy of that, just, I mean, you can use your own imagination how this works, that when there's chaos in your own life, when you don't have your life in order, even in your personal life, not only your family life, if you don't have your life in order, you end up leaning on people very strongly for help, and almost in an abusive way. Because if when you have tikkun in your life, like a simple example, if you have proper tikkun in your family life, then everything is more structured. You know exactly how much you're making, for example, what you're earning, and what you can spend, and what are the times for the children to eat, etc. And then a person that's living with chaos doesn't have these kelim, doesn't have these vessels. So maybe they overspend, and then they have to depend on other people for charity. Maybe the kids go hungry, and therefore the children are more erratic and misbehaving, and therefore you become more angry at the children. So the world of chaos creates a lot of hurt. There's a lot of negative effects that happens from a person living in their own lives that affects the other people that cause it, that has, because of the chaos that they're living. This is what Pare is. Pare is this Barin Lechol Nehurin, which he's the negative embodiment of the possibility of these lights of Toyo in a negative way, living in a negative way, becomes Metzar, becomes actually constrictive, becomes constrictive to other people, becomes abusive to other people, even becomes abusive to yourself, it becomes constrictive to yourself. It's literally, for the example we said before, like if you eat a lot of ice cream, or you eat a lot of candy, you think that's unhealthy for you because you just enjoy it and you're indulging with a lot of passion, with a lot of relish, a lot of fervor. The end result is that you throw up. So the tzimtzum, the contraction, the metzar, the constrictions come because of the chaos, because of the spacious, because of this great expanse, which seems to be positive, and this a total openness and no order and no structure and complete chaos. And it seems to be this a lot of light, a lot of movement, that at the end results into deeper levels of constriction and deeper levels of metzer. So this is what Pare is, and this is what the quality of Pare is. So Pare is the Olam HaToyo. Now Moshe, who's Moshe? Moshe, like Chanoich, which we'll have to talk about, but like Chanoich in the beginning of the Torah, Salah Chanoich, like Chanoich, the Alter writes in Torah, or Shmois brings down from Sefer HaTemura, that Moshe comes from a Shemitah, a prior Shemitah, comes from a previous world. That Moshe's neshama, Moshe comes from a higher world. If this is literal or not literal, the Shemitahs, the cycles of 7 times 7, the Alter brings down from the Arizal that he says that it's only spiritually, it's not literally. But the point is that Moshe comes from a higher world. We see the same thing also is brought down in Sefer Akana, also from that same genre of Svarim that were written in 12, 13, 1400s, Pridari, that brings down that dog and fish are from a previous Shemitah, come from a previous cycle of creation. Therefore, we say that fish is water, connected to water, the fish don't need shechita, don't have to go through an actual ritual slaughter in order to be elevated. The shechita is an elevation of the animal. And asifasam zu shechitasam, just by gathering the fish itself, that is like the level of shechita, that's the level of slaughter. That's the relevant ritual slaughter, which means it doesn't have to go through this process. Why? Because it says in Sefer Kabbalah, this reason is because they come from a previous Shemitah, which means they come from a higher level of world. What does that mean? What is that bechina? What is that state? That's the level of mayim. That's the level of water. Or to say a little bit differently, that's ayin. That's the level of ayin. Ayin is the nothingness, or the undefined, which again is oyris mum kelim atom. There's a lot of light, but there's very little vessel. So there's undefined. The spheres are not defined. Nothing is defined. This is the ayin state, like the creative place. That's where the root of Moshe comes from. That's why the Shlach Kodesh writes also that if you fill out the name Moshe, Mem Shin Hey, so Mem will be Mem, and Shin will be Shin Yud Nun, and Hey will be Hey Aleph. So the filling letters of Moshe's name would actually, the filling letters of Moshe's name would be Me'ayin. So Moshe comes from the Bechin of Ayin. Moshe comes from the water. Moshe comes from this nothingness, from this emptiness, the place of water. But like we said, that Moshe goes from Yam, comes from Minamai Mishisu, he comes from the place of water, and he goes into the place of land. Before Matan Torah, before the giving of the Torah, they have to go through Kriyas Yam, they have to go to the splitting of the sea. Again, the idea of they're going from the place of water to the place of land. They're going from the place of Metzar Yam, from Mitzrayim, from the place of water, from the place of Toyu, with this unbridled, undifferentiated, undefined, pure, creative, powerful energy that you see like in a child relishing in an ice cream, which you cannot find with an adult, because the adult has das that mitigates that diminishes that passion. And they go to a place from the place of Toyu, they go to a place of Tikkun. Just like the beginning of the story of the creation of the Torah is going from the place of Toyu to Tikkun, and the world is Olamat Ashabarakim Lasas Latakin, Hashem created the world for the world of to create Tikkun, which is order, structure. Moshe goes from Mayim Leabasha, goes from water to the place of earth. And then Moshe becomes the giver of the Torah. What is the Torah? The Torah is halacha. The Torah is law, order, structure. So that's the world of Tikkun. The Torah is the world of Tikkun. So Moshe, which is, comes from the water, but Moshe also becomes comes to embody the quality of Das, the Bechin of Das, which is awareness. Das is the awareness, is the creative part of self, which is like more Chachma, and then the dissecting of those Chachma, which is Bina, which is then an analysis of the creative ideas. And Das is the implementation. Das is the place of choice. Das is the place of separation. Like Chazal said, Yerushalmi says that we say Choynadas, in Yatach HaNatonu Choynadas, we say the idea of separation, B'Kodesh L'Chol, between the sacred and the mundane, in the blessing of Das, of awareness, because Emein Das, if there's no Das, there can't be separation. That's the idea of separation. So Moshe becomes the place of Das. Das is the world of separation of Bayabasha, the place of the ground, the place of earth, in contrast to the place of water. That's similar to the creation story, where in the day two and the continuation of that story is when there's a Havdalah, there's a separation between one and the one. That's the Das. So specifically Moshe, who comes himself from the place of water, Mishisu, he's drawn from the place of water, from Ayin, and he reaches the place, and he comes to the place of Das, of awareness, to the place of Ayobash, and plains, the dry land. He comes from the world of Toyota, the world of Tikkun. He is the shepherd. He's the Raya Mehemna. He's the shepherd that can shepherd Klal Yisrael to bring them from a place of the chaos of Mitzrayim, the chaos of a world of Toyu, of the place of Mitzrayim, of Egypt. And it can bring them to the place of order, to Matan Torah, to receive the Torah of order, of structure. Now we can understand a little bit what the Zohar is telling us about Moshe's fear to encounter this serpent, this Tanin HaGadol, this great sea monster. Besides the fact that this is the epitome, this is the apex of all clip of all negativity, and that's one level, but it's much deeper than that. It's deeper than that because Moshe is now told to do something that seems contrary to the whole project. The entire project of Yitzias Mitzrayim and going out of Egypt, the entire project is to get the Klal Yisrael to the Bechina of Das, to a level of Das. They should go from the place of Toyu to the place of Tikkun, the place of chaos, the place of order. They should receive the Torah of order and live. They should go from the place of immaturity to the place of maturity. That's the evolvement of Klal Yisrael as a collective, and just like it's much like the involvement of an individual person, the objective of life is to become more and more mature. And now what is Hashem telling Moshe Rabbeinu? Hashem is telling Moshe that I want you, boil Paro, you should come to Paro. I want you to go to Paran. And Hashem says, I'll come with you. I'll be with you. really I'm there, because that's the highest level of Hesperin L'chol Nehorin. That's the source of all lights, of all strong lights, before it even diminished or contracted into the world of Tikkun. He says, I want you to go to Pare, Boya Pare. I don't want you to tell him anything. You don't have to tell him anything. I want you to bring Pare with you. I want you to go into the belly of the beast, to the source of Olam HaToyu, to the apex of the world of Toyu. And I want you to draw that koyach, that power of Olam HaToyu, and I want you to garness and harness that power and draw it into the world of Tikkun. And here's what Moshe's saying. Moshe's saying, how can I do that? If the entire project of my life is a reflection of that community of my mission, so I come from the place of water, going to the place of land, I'm going from the place of Toyo to the Tikkun, and this is what I have to do to Klal Yisrael, to the people of Israel. I have to draw them from a place of the chaos of Egypt, which is a place of abuse, and therefore a place of a high level of trauma and drama, because everyone is just so engaged in their own personal lives that the negative effects of their living chaotically is just abusive and slavery, etc., etc. Nothing is done in an orderly fashion. So if this is the way it was done, and the purpose is to get to the place of Tikkun. So I'm afraid, Moshe says, according to the Zohar, I'm afraid to go back to the world of Toyo because it's counterproductive or counterintuitive to everything that I'm moving towards, and B, I may get swallowed back into the Mayim because that's where I come from. I come from that place of Toyo and brought to a place of Das now that I'm here. And if I want to get to the point from point A to B, if I go back to point A, I may be swallowed into the point of A, back into the water. But Hashem says, I'm going to come with you. Because the tachlis, because the ultimate is that we should reach a place of maturity, a place of tikkun, but not ever let go of the underlying power that exists within the world of Toyo. Sometimes people become mature. Sometimes people become mature. Or sometimes people go through a certain type of transformation in their life. Or they become a Baal Tshuva, they become very serious about their Yiddishkeit at some point in their life. Or just a person generally becoming more mature. And they think that maturity is seriousness, which it is, and a das, and it's awareness. But in the process of becoming so mature, they let go of their zest, their passions, their unique qualities that made them where their light shines, their toyo, their creative part. They become so tied to structure and to order and to the world of law and practice that they lose their poetic, passionate, toyo, creative sense. And Hashem is telling Moshe that if, in order for the people to receive the Torah correctly, in order for people to be correct and wholesome and to truly receive the Torah of order and of structure, to be in the world of Tikkun, they also have to reclaim the power of Toyo within the context of Tikkun. They have to ensure that their practices of Tikkun, of order and structure, is always laced with an underlying power that arises from the world of Toyo, that arises in the world of creativity, which means in practical life, it means like that even if you're an adult and you're mature, and you should be, and you have das, and you're living your life in a very mindful way, in a very practiced way, in a very disciplined way, but that should not come at the expense of the spontaneity of life, of the unbridled passions that you had as a child. It's just a matter of taking those creative aspects of yourself, those passionate parts of yourself, those spontaneous parts of yourself, and trying to enfold them within the context of Tikkun. To take the Oyers to Toyu and place them in the Kehilim to Tikkun. That's the ultimate. That's the opening of Mashiach. To draw down the lights of Toyu within the vessels of Tikkun, within the vessels that you are in your life. So to always make sure that your practice and your doing of the mitzvahs, and your doing of order and structure and tikkun, doesn't come at the expense of Toyo, that you lose that part of self, that it become dull and impassionate, and just, you know, following routine. That there's always that underlying creative aspect and spontaneous aspect that's infusing your practice of tikkun. Moshe was scared to reclaim that, beast. And ultimately, that's the ultimate transformation and the ultimate redemption of all of world history, is when we can go back to the Nachash. We can go back to that raw quality of the snake, of the serpent, of the unbridled powers of Tohu, and we can transfer them into the world of Tikkun in a healthy way, and in a wholesome way, and in a holy way. And then we can actually transform Nachash into Mashiach. The snake becomes the source of Mashiach, of redemption, and the world of redemption. So have a wonderful Shabbos, and Hashem should bless us, and bless all of Klal Yisrael and the entire world, that we should see, Be'ez Hashem, with our own eyes, the coming and revealing of Mashiach. May it remain speedily.